Kenwood, inviting you to listen to another adventure of Casey, crime photographer. Ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Our adventure for tonight, Thunderbolt. Night. A night of storm. A public garage in the neighborhood of deluxe apartment houses and stately city mansions. An expensive car is driven in as an alert attendant.
Good evening, Dr. Foley.
Hardly a good evening, Jim. By the way, this thing will need a wash and polish before you put it away.
I can see that, sir. It's pretty bad weather out.
It's filthy.
I'll get a man to run you home, Doctor.
Don't bother. I'm dressed for rain and need exercise, so I'll walk as usual.
Whatever you say, sir.
No. Good night, Jim.
Bye, Dr. Foley.
Pardon me, sir.
Yes?
May I trouble you for a match?
Oh, certainly.
Rotten weather, isn't it?
Yes, pretty bad. Look, here's a book of matches. You can keep them.
Sure you have others?
Oh, yes. Good night.
Excuse me. Aren't you Dr. Foley?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen papers in the medical journals. Do you mind if I walk with you for a short distance?
If you wish.
I shall consider it a privilege.
Are you a physician yourself?
No, it was once my ambition to become a great brain surgeon such as you are, but now I'm just a sort of jack-of-all-trades, which means, of course, that I'm what the world calls a failure.
Well, success and failure are matters of viewpoint.
Oh, how true. A man can be as he thinks. He can rise above misfortune and live in Valhalla with a god. The thunder. To me, that is Thor, the mighty, wielding his hammer, forging his thunderbolts to strike the mountain giants. Do I sound mad?
Well, you sound interesting, Mr.
Thorson is my name, Doctor.
Thorson?
Yes. Oh, one of the streetlights is out here. Makes things quite dark.
Well, the storm probably knocked it out.
Yes, a minor thunderbolt of the storm, the feeble precursor of a greater one, a deadly one.
Deadly one?
Forged by the hammer of the son of Thor.
Here, what are you doing with that?
I'm wielding the hammer, striking down the giants, killing you! Thor's son has cast his thunderbolt.
The murdered man is Dr. Bernard Foley, Captain Logan?
Yeah, the big brain surgeon is real.
Casey, will this killing make headlines?
I'll say.
The kind of headlines that'll be followed by editorial blasts against us cops.
Well, that means you haven't got any leads, pal.
All we've been able to learn so far is that Dr. Foley left his car in the Ardmore garage. And at 11:15, the patrolman found his dead body sprawled across the sidewalk, as you can see it now.
Spot must have been pretty dark before you cops got here with your flood lamps. I see that street light's out.
Yeah, the storm knocked it out, I guess.
Was Dr. Foley robbed, Captain?
No, we found a wallet full of dough in his hip pocket, Miss Williams. Robbery wasn't the motive for his murder.
How was he killed, then?
Well, the ME thinks the job was done with a small tack hammer.
What? A small tack hammer?
Yeah, the double-headed kind of holster is used.
Well, Logan, that big playwright who was killed last week, Eli Whitlock.
Yeah, his skull was crushed with a small hammer, and his body was found on a dark street near his home and on a night like this.
I know. The similarity of the Whitlock murders naturally occurred to me. But Whitlock's killer was caught red-handed robbing the body, and he's now in jail.
The guy you nabbed for that job admits he went through Whitlock's pockets, but he's consistently denied the killing, Logan. Well, I believed his story that he found Whitlock lying in that doorway and figured he was drunk.
I haven't believed it, and I don't know.
Logan, I have a hunch that you're at the beginning of a very tough case.
Calling
out. Did I mistake our master's voice, Annie?
Casey! Williams!
We're on our way, sir!
Here
Bert.
We are, fella.
All right, take over the desk till I come back. Now you two come with me into the private office.
Okay.
Hey, why into the private office, sir?
We'll soon find out. Close that door so we can have some quiet.
All right.
Now, you two covered the Foley murder last night.
Yeah.
And the Whitlock killing last week.
You know we did.
Casey, from the first, you believed the cops pulled in the wrong guy for Eli Whitlock's bump off.
Yeah, and he was behind bars last night when Dr. Foley was killed.
I think you had the right idea. Sit down. Now, I'm going to read you a special delivery letter that just came in. Listen to this. Dear sir, last week the much overrated playwright Eli Whitlock met death. Last night, the unduly acclaimed surgeon, Dr. Bernard Foley, met death in the same identical manner. I destroyed both of these frauds.
Go on, Bert. Go ahead.
And my thunderbolt shall soon destroy others.
Thunderbolt?
Shut up and get all of this.
All right.
The writer goes on. I concern myself only with the giants.
Giants?
Yes. But I shall slay other giants. On the next night of storm, another alleged giant shall die.
Another?
This time, a colossus of commerce shall meet his doom. A dealer in money, a seller of false security. Try to prevent his death, you will be powerless. That's all. No signature, of course.
Hey, let me see that cut.
Here, hold it at the corner.
All right. Hand-printed in block letters.
You think it's on the level, Casey?
Your guess is as good as mine, kid. The writer's obviously a screwball.
But the letter isn't a gag. The screwball must believe he's Thor.
Who?
The ancient god of the Norsemen. Thor. The Thunderbolt.
Don't you know anything about the classics, Casey? Thor. Strongest of gods. The magic hammer.
I know it. Have you gotten in touch with the cops about this letter, Bert?
If they get in touch with this paper, when they get something hot, they can read about it in our next edition.
Yeah, they'd be plenty sore if you hold out and something happens.
The letter says another big man will die.
Sure. A dealer in money. A seller of false security. What does that tell you? The best protection for whoever it means is to read a copy of this letter in tomorrow's Express.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, the threat may be strictly phony.
And anyway, the threat's made for the next night of storm.
Sure, and the weather report for tonight and tomorrow is clear and
mild. That's Bert.
What?
Look out the window.
Huh? Rain.
I hope, Bert, that this letter is as phony as your weather forecast.
Shall I serve you another drink before you leave, Mr. Clements?
No, thanks, Harry. I've already had more than I... Pardon me, should have, but tonight I was celebrating.
Well, you have every reason to celebrate from what you told us fellas behind the bar here.
That's right. I signed up another $1 million policy today, Harry. Another $1 million policy. I'm just what the fellas in my business say I am, the greatest life insurance salesman in the world.
Oh, I believe that, Mr. Clement. I believe it.
Gotta go home now.
Oh, I'll call the doorman and have him get a taxi for you.
No, I want to walk. Need a walk. Do me good. Night, Henry.
Good night, Mr. Clement.
Yes, George. Thanks for opening the door for me. Yeah, feels good. Rain feels good.
Pardon me, sir.
Huh?
May I trouble you for a match?
Match? Oh, sure.
Thank you. Aren't you Mr. Alan Clement?
Well, how'd you know?
You were pointed out to me at the underwriter's convention several months ago as the greatest life insurance salesman in the business.
That's so.
Do you mind if I walk along with you?
Oh, come along. Glad to have your company, Mr.
Thank you. And my name is Thorson.
Casey, you and Miss Williams have a nerve showing yourselves here at headquarters today. If you read the newspapers, you must know a guy named Clamart was hammered to death last night.
We've heard about it, Lou.
And I've heard that you two knew about the letter threatening his wife.
That's it.
You and your smart city editor wouldn't tell us cops about it. Oh, no. We had to see it in print. Too late.
Now, listen, pal.
Don't tell me. Get out of this office
But now, what would you have done if you had seen that letter? Would it have told you that a life insurance salesman was the intended victim? And a particular life insurance salesman named Clamart?
And wouldn't you have been inclined, as we were, to dismiss that entire fantastic letter as a gag? Now, be reasonable, Captain Logan.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Well, now all of us know the letter wasn't just a gag.
Yeah. Burke's turned the original letter over to you. Any fingerprints on it?
Only yours and Mr. Burke's.
Yeah, we expected that. With the same weapon used this time?
Tack hammer, the doc thinks.
You know, Logan, there's a very obvious pattern of murder.
In its method, sure. Rainy nights, deserted streets, victims who habitually walk to their homes. All this crazy hammer swinger had to do was bust a streetlight on their route and wait for them in the dark.
Yeah, streetlight was out last night.
Yeah, we figured it was much more than a coincidence this time, so we investigated and found a BB shot inside the broken globe.
Oh, gun,
or a slingshot.
This killer isn't so crazy. He plans well in advance.
But he is crazy. He clearly establishes his insanity by the absence of normal motive for his murders.
Envy, Logan. Envy. Mm-hmm. Pushed to abnormal lengths by failure.
You mean because the killer's a failure, he wants to destroy men who are successful?
Well, to me, that seems to be his mania.
Yeah, you may be right in your theory, but it'd take my guys forever to check up on all the failures in town.
Well, I'm not a cop. This Thunderbolt screwball is your headache, Logan.
Yeah, and you newspaper mugs will be handing me anything but aspirin. You make me out a dope because we pinched the wrong guy for the Whitlock job. And the public will never be told your city editor held out that letter on me. We cops didn't even have a chance.
Don't start that again, now.
Why shouldn't I? When I think of it, I start to boil at it. Come in.
Hello, Captain. I'm glad to find you and Williams here, Casey.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Burke, city editor.
Burke, you're an unpopular guy around here, you know.
Get out, boss, while the going's good.
I don't want him to get out. I want your city editor to stay until I've told him exactly what I think of him.
Hold everything. Come down here to make amends. With another Thunderbolt letter.
Thunderbolt?
Same special delivery like the first.
Give it to me.
Yeah?
What's it say?
Writer brags about keeping his promise last night and promises another murder when it rains again.
Another?
This time he's more explicit about his next victim. I think he means to kill a press photographer.
What?
Yes.
A press photographer?
You, Casey.
Burke, you're kidding.
Read that letter and see for yourself.
He isn't kidding, Miss Williams.
Oh.
Casey, well, this is just my headache.
Second letter from that Thunderbolt nut says he's going to kill a press photographer, Miss Williams?
It promises to kill Casey, Ethelbert.
Huh?
It doesn't promise anything of the kind. Only you, Logan, and Burke claim to see the inference in it.
All right, well, let's try it out on Ethelbert.
I want to see you.
You're on that photostatic copy of the letter, but don't you try to rib me now, pal.
Here, Ethelbert, read this.
Lincoln Photostat Company Incorporated.
No, Ethelbert, down here.
Oh. The next to fall by my thunderbolt shall be a very little giant.
Little giant.
Shut up, Kate. Let me read.
He can't.
He practices press photography, a minor art.
A minor art.
He dabbles in a field other than his own, crime detection, in which they credit him with brilliance when the fool is merely lucky.
Yeah, now that's something.
The Thunderbolt is forged and ready and will strike on the next night of storm.
Now, I ask you, Ethelbert, as a pal, can you find anything in that bunch of drivel that can possibly apply to me?
Casey, now I'm worried about you.
What?
The guy practically draws your picture and writes your name under it. He means you.
Photography department, Casey speaking.
This is Ann Casey.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to phone you, kid. That's a case of sniffles you went home to nurse.
Well, I feel a little better.
That's good.
Casey, it's starting to rain and thunder.
Yeah? Well, now, so what? Now, look, I've been needled about that letter until I'm sick, too. That nut may hammer somebody to death tonight, but his threat was definitely not directed at me.
Look, you walked blindly into any trap that he'd lead you to, and you don't know what he looks like.
Annie, please.
I tell you, I don't ask very much of you.
Well, all right, I promise.
Look, drive directly to your apartment house when you finish working tonight. and leave your car parked in front of the door instead of going to the garage and walking the two blocks home.
Anna.
And then go upstairs and lock yourself in.
Listen, Anna.
Now, you promised, Casey.
Yeah, I've promised.
I'll phone you at 11:50. Now, be sure you're there.
Here's the old crate, Charlie. Put it away.
Want me to wash your car tonight, Mr. Casey? You'll be pretty spotty from this rain.
Huh. Who do you garage guys think I am, a millionaire? I bought a car wash from you months ago.
Hey, you're a hard man to make money out of, Mr. Casey.
Go ahead, Charlie. Clean her up.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. On second thought. Look, do that cleanup job tomorrow night, will you? And if Miss Williams ever asks you if I left the car here tonight, you tell her no, huh?
I ain't seen nothing of your car tonight, sir.
Right. Thank you, pal.
Thank you.
All right, Charlie. I'm heading for home.
Night, Mr. Casey.
Pardon me, sir.
Go on.
May I trouble you for a match?
I guess so.
Miserable weather, isn't it?
Yeah. Just thinking. Here's my lighter.
Thank you. Say, aren't you, Mr. Casey, the famous crime photographer?
Well, I don't know about the famous part, but I'm Casey.
I thought so. You've been pointed out to me at police headquarters.
Sure. What were you doing there?
Well, nothing in the business way. I was paying a social call on a detective friend of mine, Sergeant McCloskey.
Oh, you know him? I know McCloskey.
Do you mind if I walk along with you?
Why, no, no.
I've long been one of your admirers, Mr. Casey.
Huh?
Little men like myself can't help but envy you giants.
Giants?
I borrowed the word from your paper's publication of those so-called thunderbolts. That is interesting mystery, that.
Yeah, yeah. What's your racket, Mr.
Thorson is my name.
Thorson? Thorson? I see. Mm-hmm. Street lights out just ahead of us. Dark stretch there.
It is dark. And listen to that thunder. An inspiring phenomenon, thunder.
Yes, I've heard that, like full moonlight, it does things to some people.
Yes, to those whom the gods make mad. To the wise people of ancient times, that which we call insanity was a God-given gift. Mr. Casey, it meant freedom.
And so I've read. We're coming into that dark stretch, Mr. Thorson.
Yes, we are.
Evening, Casey.
What?
It's me, Joe McCloskey.
This is an unexpected meeting, Sergeant.
Why, yeah. Hello, Carl.
You know this guy, Sarge?
Well, I ought to. Carl Thorson and I lived in the same block for about 10 years. Hey, what are you doing so far from home, neighbor?
I've been visiting friends, Sergeant. I'm walking to the bus stop.
You know, Thorson is a great fan of yours, Casey. He's always asking me questions about you.
See? Oh, you... You know, Mr. Thorson, well, Sergeant.
Well, so well that if he was anyone else, I'd be putting a pinch on him right now. You know, our beat cops have been reporting all streetlights out of commission since that last Thunderbolt murder, Casey. And when Captain Logan heard one was out near your apartment, he sent my partner and me right up here on the jump.
I'm glad to know that you policemen are so efficient, Sergeant.
You don't know the half of it, Carl. Ever since it started to rain this evening, Casey has been shadowed.
Yeah. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Come out of that doorway you ducked into, Red. Everything's okay. Well, come on, Casey. I'll escort you to your apartment house, and then the other guys and me can get home. And you'll be entirely safe once you're home.
I must hurry to catch my bus, Sergeant, so if you don't mind...
No. Run along, Carl. Run along.
I'll see you later. It's been a great privilege to meet you, Mr. Casey. Good night.
Good night.
He's a nice little guy, Thorson.
Yeah, isn't he? Kept me from making an awful fool of myself, Sarge. And with that, I've handed your boss, Logan, a swell laugh. He had me tailed tonight.
Well, the captain's been worried about you, Casey. Well, now, come on. I'll walk you to your door.
Knew that phone would be ringing. Okay, all right. I'm only a few minutes late now, Annie. I just got home, and look at it. 7 minutes to 12.
Well, what delayed you?
A whole flock of cops that my pal Logan sent to nurse me. I suppose you put him up to it.
No, he didn't give me the satisfaction of knowing he was having you guarded, but I'm glad to hear he did. You all right, Casey?
Of course I'm all right. Now go on to bed. Get over your sniffles and let me get some sleep.
Casey, I'll never worry about you again as long as I live. Good night.
Annie. Worried. But he should have known that letter couldn't have meant me. Very little, Giant. Now what? Hello?
So you are safely home.
You, Logan.
McCluskey just radioed a report that all was well with you. I phoned to double-check.
Okay, now you've double-checked, wise guy, and now you know that that screwball didn't have his hammer out for me. Goodbye. Nuts to all of you.
Not to me, but...
Boston.
Nice of you to leave your door open. It made things so easy. I'll close it now.
What are you...
Be very still. As you see, now I'm armed with a revolver as well as my hammer.
I see.
Sergeant McCluskey and his fellow policemen made it impossible for me to stick to pattern, as he called it, but they went away. And I came back. Wasn't it fortunate that McCluskey is a neighbor of mine? He couldn't believe that the man he sees nearly every day is not the person that she thinks.
You certainly threw me off a train.
That doesn't matter. I shall keep my promise.
Your promise?
That you shall die tonight. Gods, unlike men, are bound by their promises.
Yeah, I see. Well, of course, you know, you've got to finish me off by 12 o'clock.
And I shall.
Yeah, you've got almost 5 minutes, fella. Plenty of time.
I'll watch the time. You're thinking, Mr. Casey, that when I approach you with my hammer, you'll seize it from me and my gun also. But I shall throw the hammer as my father Thor throws it. With the speed of lightning and unerring aim.
Yeah, but you didn't kill those other guys by throwing your hammer. You held it in your hand and you hit him many times.
There was a reason for that.
Yeah, but a guy can neither throw a hammer or fire a gun with any accuracy in the dark.
You've smashed the lamp.
Thorson, you shot your last thunderbolt. Turn on another light. Logan, this is Casey. Send some cops up to my apartment to collect the Thunderbolt killer.
The Thunderbolt?
Yeah, he's sleeping on my living room rug right now.
He's
even crazier than I figured he'd be, Logan. When he wrote that last letter, he was referring to me.
They took Thorson to the insane asylum, huh, Miss Williams?
Yeah, he's safely tucked away in a padded cell.
Ethelbert, what do you think of a man who's so eager to get his name into the obituary column that he disregards all warnings and even breaks the solemn promise exacted for his safety?
No, I'd say that guy was a suicidal lunatic, Miss Williams, and I know just who you mean.
Suicidal lunatic.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.